But right now, let's go locally here in the East Bay, and that is bring in the captain, the lead voice, the play-by-play voice on the radio of the great Oakland A's, someone I've been privileged to work with for many years, and a great broadcaster, and an even better author. And good morning. How are you?
Hello, Marty. How are you?
Come on. I gave you a big build-up there.
I know. That was pretty impressive. You got the check that I sent yesterday, obviously.
No, I didn't. In fact, I'd like
to... Well, it's in the mail.
All right. Send it by FedEx next time, would you please?
All right.
So, first of all, a big baseball week for you. You know, you've got Tampa Bay here, Texas coming in next week. So, let's... On the baseball side, this is a big week for you guys.
It's what you play for, and I think as a fan, it's what you live for, Marty. As you know, when you follow your team all season long to get in a position where the A's are in, where... They lead the wild card by a game and a half over Tampa Bay. They're two behind Texas, so to have these series back-to-back. And I know you've talked a lot about the September baseball and the atmosphere that you have, and the A's winning a 4-3 game and then a 2-1 ball game last night against the Rays. And those are the kinds of games that you have to win if you're going to find yourself in the postseason.
Did you stay for the Green Day concert?
No, it wasn't a Green Day concert. It was a fireworks show that was set to the music of Green Day last night.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. I was wondering how that all came together. Now, did you say Green Bay or Green Day?
Well, there's a couple of the members of the band actually throughout the ceremonial first pitches before the game last night, Marty.
All right. Very good. All right. Let's talk about really what's really important, and that is the loving book that that you wrote about your former partner and the great Bay Area broadcaster. He's a Hall of Famer, as I always told him in my book. Every day, and that is the late Bill King. Tell us how it came about and what's on the horizon for you.
Well, it's thanks for asking, Marty, and thanks for having me on. The book was about 10 months in the making, and the process was such that, as you know, writing a book is a tremendous commitment, but it was so much easier for me, Marty, because people like yourself and everybody I talked to had this incredible passion for talking about Bill, and I've said this, that the passion people had, and I interviewed, I don't know, I lost count, maybe 55 or 60 people for the book. That passion almost, in a sense, mirrored the zest for life that Bill had, because no one had more zest for life than Bill King, and he was so multifaceted, as you know, and you and Bill were very close. And the book is now available, by the way, on Amazon, and it's titled Holy Toledo, Lessons from Bill King, Renaissance Man of the Mic.
Wow. So it is out already on Amazon. I didn't realize that.
You can order it. I don't believe you could get it tomorrow, but my sense is that that there's no question you can order the book on Amazon right now, and it might be available as quickly as next weekend, I think, if you were to order it fairly soon.
Terrific. Now, you have some events coming up. I'd like the fans to know about it, and you'll imagine you'll have books there, and you'll be able to sign books and let people see the book and buy it.
We're going to have three book signings next weekend here at the Coliseum, Marty, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before the games. And then there's a little book event over at Books, Inc., which is a wonderful bookstore in Alameda. That'll be at 5 o'clock on Saturday next weekend.
All right. Now, of course, everyone, you know, who's familiar with Bill, you just have to hear his voice and the way he described things, the words he used. To me, that was the essence of him. But I just told him, he would have been the greatest trial lawyer in the history of California because of his preparation. You worked with him for so many years. You got to know him. What stands out about him to you?
Well, that was one thing, too, that stood out. And from talking to a lot of the people that I interviewed in the book, and as I said, Bill, as Roy Eisenhart says in the book, he had a multiversity of interests. And it's pretty well known that Bill was an aficionado of things like sailing and the opera and the ballet, and he was a wonderful painter. But those things never got in the way of his preparation because, first and foremost, he was a broadcaster, and he was diligent about preparing for every game. And he approached every game really like an artist. And even at the end of his career, and as you know, he passed away in October of 2005, he never compromised his preparation, Marty, at a point where he would have had all the right, I would think, to maybe mail it in and just show up and do the games, but he never allowed that to happen. So as Hank Greenwald actually says in the book, that Bill really approached every broadcast almost as if that broadcast was an audition.
Yeah, and first of all, give the fans a little timeline, because not everybody knows who Bill King is. Of course, if you've been in the Bay Area and you're a certain age, of course you know of him, but many people are just learning about him. Give us just a brief timeline of who he worked for and when, and a little bit of the background.
Well, he got his first broadcasting exposure in the service in Guam in 1948. And then after that, went back to the Midwest and did a variety of things, beginning around 1950 around Illinois, including college basketball at Bradley. He did football and basketball at Nebraska, a lot of minor league baseball. And that really laid the foundation for Bill to actually resume broadcasting baseball later in his career. And then he moved to the Bay Area in 1958, and he actually shipped out to Guam from the Bay Area. And that really, that was where the love of being in Northern California really began for Bill. And so he always had his eyes on coming back to Northern California, which he did in 1958, and broadcast Cal basketball during the heyday, the Pete Newell years, and around 1960. Of course, they, that was the year that Cal won the national championship, and then it was 59-60, the great years for Cal winning the championship and then getting to the finals the next year. And he began on the Giants broadcast team, and a lot of people don't realize that Bill was part of the legendary Giants team in 1959, and he worked for 4 years with Lon Simmons and with Russ Hodges. Yeah. And then eventually started with the Warriors in 1962, and the Raiders in 66, and then joined the A's, paired with Lon Simmons in 1981.
Boy, what a great story. And, you know, there's so now part, and you've been nice enough to send me some chapters of it to read. I love the anecdotes because everyone has a story about Bill, me included. That's the essence of the book. It's not really a biography. It's more of painting a picture of Bill King as the person, how he touched people's lives, and what he did in his professional life.
Yeah, that's a good point, Marty. And you were instrumental, and I've said this to you, and people should know this, that one of the best days that I had in doing the preparation for the book was the day that I spent at your home out in Arizona, and you were gracious enough to make a lot of your interviews. You had done so many interviews with Bill over the years, and to make those available for me, and that really helped provide, filled in a lot of the blanks for the book, and especially some background from his early life and going back even to the days when he was recreating games in the Midwest in the low minors. And so it isn't a biography per se, and I just thought it was so important because, as you know, the history of Bill King is so closely woven and intertwined with the history of sports in the Bay Area. And so people might say, well, this is an Oakland A's book. Well, there are some A's chapters in there, but there's a lot of stuff about the Giants. And obviously there is a lot of information about Bill's time with the Warriors. The 1975 championship team was Bill's favorite team to broadcast, although baseball was his first love, certainly. There's a lot of Oakland Raider information in there, chapters on the Raiders, even the Raiders in Los Angeles. So I just thought it was really important to tell Bill King's story through the voices, through the eyes of so many people that he touched, both on the air and off. And as you know, he touched a lot of people over a long time.
Well, you were successful. Everything I've read that you've sent me is just me. It's stuff you can't put down. That's how good it is. But what do you want people to take away after reading the book? Well, what's the lesson? What do you want people to learn after reading the book?
Well, you know, I think that's up to people to decide, Marty. I would never want to kind of plant that seed with people. But Steve Kettman, who is the publisher of the book, wrote a wonderful note at the end, the publisher's note. And I think at the end of that, he actually writes about if there's a young broadcaster who reads the book and might get something out of this and maybe takes away the dedication that Bill had, the fact that he did things his own way, the fact that he never compromised his preparation, the fact he was his own man on the air, that maybe if we can touch a young broadcaster or two and impart some of the lessons of Bill King through this book, then I think it will be a successful project from that standpoint.
So this is your first book. I mean, it's incredible. How do you feel? Are you going to do another one?
The Marty Lurie story is next up. I've actually had publishers contact me.
I'd like that.
You know,
co-authored by Ray Fossey, of course.
Yeah, I know. This might be a one and done for me as far as books, because you have to, you can't just, I mean, my job is to broadcast games. I'm not an author, but to me, if you're going to write something, I think you have to have that commitment and that passion and the energy. And for me, the energy came from writing about Bill, and I'm just not so sure that there's another subject that I could tackle that would kind of influence me that way, Marty.
All right. Ken Korak is with us. Give the full name of the book. I always call it Holy Toledo, but there's a longer name to it.
Well, Holy Toledo works, but it's Holy Toledo Lessons from Bill King, Renaissance Man of the Mic.
All right, so it's all said and done. Have you seen the book? Have you held it yet?
No, I haven't gotten it yet. I've been told that I might get some copies of the book as early as this coming Tuesday, Marty. But I have not actually seen the physical copy of it yet.
Well, it's going to be exciting. And one last thought for you is people out, you know, it's a Sunday morning. I love to be able to bring this information to folks and, of course, books. And this is a very special one. Did anything happen in the writing of the book that you didn't expect? No, because this is your first one, and of course it's like a journey, like a long walk. You take that first step, and my goodness, 4 months later or 10 months later, you say, how did I ever do it? Well, what did you have to overcome to get this thing done?
Well, I was really intimidated. It was daunting to try to capture Bill. I mean, how do you capture Bill King? And even though I spent 10 years with him, and you were right here at the Coliseum doing your pregame shows back then, but it was a daunting thing for me, and there were times when I thought, you know, how do you really capture this guy and will I be able to do it? And then you come to the realization that all you can do is do your best. And then I go back to what I said earlier, Marty, and that is that I was just so energized to write because I'd get off the phone, and not to name drop, but there are a lot of people will recognize John Madden, Rick Barry, Al Attles, Tom Forey, the list goes on and on of people that were iconic figures in the Bay Area that were just so willing to share their thoughts about Bill. I mean, everybody I talked to just is almost like they couldn't wait to talk about Bill. And when you have that kind of interaction with people, then it really makes it was a lot easier for me to write, because going into writing a book, you think, how am I going to ever sit down and almost every day crank out 250 or 260 pages? I never thought I could do that. But through the help of so many other people, I think that task became a whole lot easier.
Well, it's terrific, I'll tell you that. It is terrific, and anyone who enjoys the art of broadcasting, the art of painting, and just a man who touched everybody and is a real Bay Area icon, he should be in all the Hall of Fames, you really captured it, so congratulations, and I can't wait to get my free copy.
How much of a discount do you really want for this book, Marty?
It's called zero. Free.
Yeah, that's right. You're a baseball guy, so you're definitely looking for the scholarship.
Vince Catronio taught me that very well.
I know. But thanks for having me on, and I really appreciate all your support. And you really were a big help on this book, and I think your listeners should know that, because that day that we spent in Phoenix was really valuable to me.
Well, it's an honor to be part of it. As I always told you, when I started these pregame shows, Bill listened to every one of them. He would be up in that booth when I would come on. If it was a 20-minute show or an hour-and-a-half show, as it turned into, he never missed a show. And if I said something wrong, he would look at me, and it made me, I think, a better broadcaster, because it was all new for me. And he was wonderful to me, and he was so nice, and he would give me help. But I'll tell you one thing. When I got on the air, I wanted to say things perfectly for him.
Can I tell a brief story from the book that relates to you?
All right.
When you were doing your pregame show, the one day that you interviewed an umpire.
Right, Jim McKeon.
And you came into the booth, you were so proud of yourself, thinking Bill would think this was great that I hustled, and I went down and talked to an umpire, and Bill exploded at you.
Yes.
Like, how in the world? You can't put umpires on the air. And you never did that again, did you?
No, until Eddie Montague. Until my dear friend Eddie Montague. That was it. Very good. Hey, have a great day. Congratulations. And I really am truly looking forward to seeing the book.
Thanks for having me, Marty. I really enjoyed it.
All right. That is the Captain Ken Korak. It's terrific. And you'll be able to get it on Amazon. And it's coming out next week. All right.